Yes. Present.
There you are, present and correct. You are not really who you say you are. What's your original name?
David John MacDonald.
So you are the MacDonald?
I am, yes.
Have you got a clan?
Yes, the Clan MacDonald.
I meant the, you know, the tartan. What is it? What colour?
Well, the great thing about being a MacDonald, because it's one of the huge clans, you can kind of choose. There's about 40 different tartans. So I favour MacDonald's Dress Modern. Because it's all just about... I like the tartans that have got the deep reds and greens. I don't like the ones that have white and yellow in them. That so feels
wrong. No, you have an autumnal hue.
Yes.
But you took your name from the Pet Shop Boys.
I sort of did, yeah. I was 16 and I joined Equity, the Actors Union, and they have a rule, which is a very sensible rule, that no two actors can have the same name. So if your name comes up on their computer, actually back then, probably was a Rolodex, if they have an actor already registered with that name, then you have to change it, which is why so many actors, because there have been over the years so many actors have to change their name. And so David MacDonald came back as a negative, and I had to... At 16, I don't know how you choose a name at 16. And my parents were going, you should choose a family name. And of course at 16, you go, no, I don't want a family name. I want my name. I want it to be unique and individual. I'll leaf through this copy of Smash Hits. So then you have a list. I presume they still do it this way now. You have a list and you had to put three options down. So my first one, do you remember Spear of Destiny? Do you remember Kirk Brandon, Spear of Destiny? So I thought, that's a good name. So I was David Brandon. That didn't come, but that obviously got knocked out. And the second option was David Tennant, because Neil Tennant from the Pet Shop Boys. I thought, that's a good name. Two syllables, that felt good, two syllables.
No, yes, but it served you brilliantly. What I find interesting, you know, we have these books now, The Secret and You Are What You Think, and, you know, The Universe. What is it you're kind of asking for the universe? Like, what's his name? Dave Edmonds. Do you know the beard?
Noel Edmonds.
Yeah, not
yes.
Dave Edmonds.
Yes.
I'm thinking music.
You're thinking Dave Lee Travis. They're easily confusable.
No, be quiet. And no, the one that you order, you cosmic order.
Yes.
Now, you cosmic ordered Doctor Who from the age of three. Do you realise that you were doing?
Well, if cosmic ordering wasn't a load of old hooey, then maybe I did, but I don't really subscribe to that. Are you a fan? Are you a fan of cosmic
ordering? It's not whether I'm a fan or not. I just think what's interesting is that you had a picture in your... You look like your father now. You had a picture in your head of what you wanted from the age of three, and blow me down with a feather if you didn't then manifest it.
Well, yes, I suppose, but but there's more luck than judgment in there, really. I've...
You're stuttering because you know there's an element of truth in it.
Except it's nonsense, isn't it? All that baloney. And people write all these books and you go into bookshops and they're groaning with shelves full of change your life by thinking A, B and C. And really...
But it's easy for you to say because you have been so lucky. And
I've been very lucky.
And
but,
a blessed
but,
life.
But yes, no, I've been very fortunate. But I think there's a danger of kind of saying that's to do with the stars or that's to do with...
Well, then answer my question. You, at the age of three, wanted to play Doctor Who.
I did.
And then you ended up doing it. You were the 10th Doctor Who.
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
No, you see, cosmic ordering. So, got ya. What is it? Game, set and match.
No.
But when do we see the next Doctor Who before we talk about the film?
He will be back. The next series will start in... I imagine, I don't know anymore because it's nothing to do with me. But usually the series starts around Easter time.
But isn't there one coming up this weekend?
There's one this weekend, 7 o'clock, which is The Waters of Mars, which is the beginning of the end for my Doctor. And then over Christmas, you see the big finale.
Are they fantastic?
Oh, I can't tell you. I'm so proud of them.
What makes you proud of something?
They're brilliant scripts, beautifully realised by the team, and everyone's kind of given it an extra push. The CGI is incredible. The costume design, the makeup.
Tell them what CGI is, my listeners.
Computer-generated images. The special effects, basically. But they're seamlessly woven in so that it doesn't look like special effects. It just looks like you're in this incredible world. We great actors all just knocking it out of the park. And I just think they're great, exciting, big, proper stories. And it feels like the perfect way to resign.
Oh, I keep picking him up and he keeps saying thank you very much, you shouldn't, but I'm going to do it again. Be quiet. You're so lovely. Just grunt. Now, this film.
Yes.
Tell us the title.
Cintrinians 2, The Legend of Fritton's Gold.
Will you tell me the name of the Stephen Polyarcos film?
Ah, there's that one too. That's Glorious 39.
You're not in the...
I am.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a minute then.
Okay, Glorious 39 first, because that comes out first. In fact, that comes out next week, I think I'm right in saying. And that's, yes, Stephen Polyakov, his first feature film in a while. He's been very successfully working on the TV, so he decided to go back to the cinema. So, of course, he's got the best cast in Britain, because everyone, if you get a call from Stephen Polyakov, you go, okay, sure, sure. So Bill Nye, Julie Christie, Hugh Bonneville, Jeremy Northern, Roma Garai as the lead, just magnificent in this film. She is brilliant and will win several awards, I have no doubt. Christopher Lee's in it, Corinne Redgrave's
sir,
in it.
Sir Christopher Lee.
Is he a sir?
He's just been made a sir.
There you go.
Yeah. And the trailer looks fantastic. The thing about Mr. SP's work is that he's always lodged, isn't he, in the past. The past is always informing, always informing, always informing.
Yes.
And he's always going back and forth and back and forth.
Yes.
Who are you? It's set in 1939.
Yes.
Who are you in this?
I am... It's about those who tried to appease Hitler, which was... It's a bit of an undiscovered story, I think, in history, because it was a huge thing that happened in the outbreak of World War II, where there was a huge movement in this country, led by Neville Chamberlain, to appease Hitler, to not go to war. And you can entirely understand the motivation behind it. They just had a ghastly war, which was still very fresh in people's memory, the First World War, which had torn a generation apart. So, of course, there were very laudable motives for not wanting to go to war again. But at the end of the day, Hitler was a different case, and that's what Churchill was arguing, that really we couldn't sit back and that we needed to be bellicose now. My character Hector is on Churchill's side, but unfortunately Chamberlain's movement was very powerful, and there is a great deal of evidence to suggest that Chamberlain employed some rather nefarious means to keep his opponents out of power, and my character suffers at the end of those nefarious means. Romola Garai's character is the daughter, the adopted daughter of a politician, Bill Nye, who would seem to be a liberal, would seem to be on the side of common sense. But we see through the character journey of Romola that actually there might be more insidious forces at work in Britain at the time.
It's a dark movie, isn't it?
It's quite dark, but it's a thriller, actually. It's cocky in at times. Which is probably not what people would expect from Stephen, but there's proper thriller chills and spills in there, and yet set within this extraordinary time of history that I didn't know a great deal about. I didn't know that we came so close to.
So you know, as a member of BAFTA, it falls upon my shoulders to say, how much research did you do for this, and how much research do you do?
Well, I didn't do as much as Stephen did, because he had immersed himself in this world, and I piggybacked on the back of him, because I came on board relatively late, but he provided me with a whole bunch of stuff which was fantastically useful, and I found myself obsessed with this story. It's an incredible... We came so close to letting Hitler walk all over us, actually. And the world would have been a very different place.
Well, let's go from the sublime to the ridiculous in Trinians.
Let's not call it ridiculous. Let's call it a fun treat for all the family.
Go on, then.
It's a fun treat for all the family.
What's it called, the film?
It's called St. Trinians 2, The Legend of Fritton's Gold.
And what are you?
I am Sir Piers Pomfrey, who has some history with the Fritton family. Of course, the most famous Fritton being Miss Camilla Fritton, the headmistress of St. Trinian School.
Played by?
The wonderful Rupert Everett, in a dress and a wig and some teeth. So I am his kind of mortal enemy, I suppose. I'm the baddie.
And is that coming out? Is that going to be a Christmas man?
Christmas, yeah, December the 18th.
Right, now, you are so very much linked with Doctor Who, but you have won so many awards for your wonderful acting. I couldn't even get in to see when you were doing your Hamlet, wasn't it?
Yes.
I couldn't get tickets, and we tried.
Sorry. It's on at Christmas. We filmed that as well, so that's on the telly at Christmas.
Oh, fantastic.
BBC Two will be showing that.
I think it's interesting that you do move between culture, high culture, low culture television, and you move between it so seamlessly just because you love to do.
Yes, absolutely. I like to do things that feel very different. I seem to be in a fortunate position where I get asked to do things that are quite different. But also I would quibble about the distinction between high art and low art, to be honest, because I think it's all storytelling. And I think some of the stuff we've done on Doctor Who is proper art, and I think it's I think it's wrong to start dividing it up, and especially because if you're telling stories to children, they're the most important audience we've got, actually. So if we can tell proper, complicated, dramatic moments in the context of a drama that is a family drama that children love to watch, then that's what we should be doing. That's what inspired me when I was young.
Do you write?
No, I don't. I've dabbled now and again, but I don't really know.
Because you are a man of words, and you talk about storytelling, which means that you think hugely about all this notion of what we're giving our children. Will there be a day you put pen to paper, do you think?
I don't know. My dad's always trying to get me to write. I did quite well in school with my essays, so I think he would quite like to see me follow up on that. I don't know. It's what I would write as well. There are so many good script writers that it would feel slightly insane of me to go up against them.
Are you that competitive then? I mean, do you do something because you think there's nobody else there that can do it as good of or like you do it?
I don't know if I'm competitive, but I certainly like to be able to do it well, I guess. And I've worked with Russell T. Davis, I've done Shakespeare recently, so you kind of, you know what a good script is, and I can think if you can't do it that well, then don't bother trying.
What next?
What next? Immediately, I'm going to do a pilot for the US. I'm doing a pilot called Rex Is Not Your Lawyer.
Does that mean that we're going to lose you and you're going to become Hugh Laurie? You are, aren't you?
Depends if they pick up the pilot. Probably not. You know, a lot of the pilots just... It's a different culture out there, but they make a lot of stuff and they look at it, and so it doesn't necessarily mean... You know, it may get picked up, and that obviously is what everyone's hoping for, but it's a great script and it's a great character, actually. I'm really excited he's a lawyer. You know, best defence lawyer of his generation, they always are.
Do you use your voice?
No.
American?
I'll be doing the American.
No.
Yes.
Say.
No, you're not going to get me to do it.
Yes, you
no.
do. You just say, no, no just no, say, Jenny,
no.
We're coming to the end of the interview in a minute and I want to show you how
I'm
brilliant
not,
I am
No,
at
I'm
American.
Not going to do that because I haven't had all my dialect classes yet. I'm not going to embarrass myself.
Anyway, so you get, how long does a pilot? Is it as long as a piece of string?
You mean how long is the actual piece of work at the end of it?
No, how long will it take?
How long does it take? About 3 weeks, I think, it's going to take.
When are you going?
Very soon.
So you have Christmas in LA?
It all sort of depends on when visas come through and all that. So I'm slightly in the dark as to quite exactly. But I think it's soon. I think I'll be back for Christmas.
What do you want for Christmas?
Ooh.
I'm not buying it for you.
Are you not? I thought that was an offer.
No, that's not an offer. Something else will be when we stop recording.
Okay.
I want to know what you want for Christmas.
I don't know. I don't have any great desires. I want everyone to watch Doctor Who on Christmas Day. How's that?
Ooh.
Sick making?
You are a media floozy.
I'm a media whore.
I didn't say that. Cut!